happen, friends. You never did read the Bible, God's word, for yourself. Maybe you never had the opportunity. Well, it's afforded to you this afternoon. Copy of God's word offered to you freely at any cost, charge, or obligation to you. Your stake, and do with as you will. But it's God's word. It's powerful, it's dynamite. Change the heart, the nature. Change the practice. Make the sinner good. Make you right with God. Bring you to eternal life. That's the design, the purpose of God's word, why it's given to you, that you might believe in Jesus and have eternal life, as opposed, of course, to the contrary, eternal death. So you'd like to have a copy of God's word. Here it is, offered to you, yours to take and do with as you will. But of course, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, is what we're about here, not religion, because religion doesn't save. You know, instituted religion, there's no life in that. There's no liberty in that. There's no love in that. Makes a person moral, makes a person respectable, makes a person self-righteous. That's what religion does, but it doesn't save. It doesn't bring the life of God into a man or woman's soul. You see, Jesus says you must be born again. Lest a man's born again, there's no life. You see, gospel's about life. Some of you rather impudently say to me in passing on occasion, you tell me to get a life. Well, that's exactly what God is saying to you. Get a life, you know. Get eternal life. Get the life of God into your soul. Because nobody yet ever lived until they did. You might exist. You might get by one day to the next, to the end of your course, but that's not living. You want to live before you die? Well, it's Jesus that you need through His death and resurrection. Life, people. Life from the dead. From the deadness of your trespasses and sins. Anyways, maybe you listen up this afternoon and listen to God's word and what He has to say. Open up your eyes and see, He says. What will you say when the Lord takes the allies you have cultivated and appoints them as your rulers? That's an interesting one. Pangs of anguish will grip you like those of a woman in labor. You may ask yourself, why is all this happening to me? It is because of your many sins. That is why you have been stripped and raped by invading armies. Can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard take away its spots? Neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. I will scatter you like chaff that is blown away by the desert winds. This is your allotment, the portion I have assigned to you, says the Lord, for you have forgotten me, putting your trust in false gods. I myself will strip you and expose you to shame. I have seen your adultery and lust, all your disgusting idol worship. What sorrow awaits you? How long before you are pure? Word of God, people. People hear. Oh yes, you hear. And yes, you understand it's not an intellectual problem that you have. It's not that you don't get it. Oh, you get it, okay. You understand fully exactly what it is God requires of you. And maybe some of you, for a moment or two, you even consider what's said, you know, but then of course very lightly dismiss it and carry on in your sinful ways. Even the temporal judgments of God that come upon you, and they do in many ways, you know, things, eventualities that come into your life, and maybe you ask the question yourself, you see, why has this happened to me? Why has this come upon me? And of course, well, God says it is because of your many sins. Even the judgments of God, you see, they come to you, but soon, you know, the crisis passes by, you know, the urgency goes out of it, you know, and well, you stop thinking about it anymore, you just go back to the way that you were before. Even the judgments of God, you see, they fail to shift, they fail to change your way, your course of life. The godless living, the sinful pleasures, you just carry on. So incorrigible, God says, is human nature. So incorrigible that change for you as a person is an utter impossibility. And God, well, He asks the question here of you. He says, can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a black man be made white? Can a white man be made black? Can a leopard take away its spots? And of course, well, your answer to that would be, of course not. That's his natural state. That's his natural condition. Well, says God, neither can you start doing good, for you have always habitually accustomed to doing evil. You see, the impossibility of the thing for you to change, for you to be, your ways to be pleasing to God, for your heart, your life, your nature, the entirety of your being to be acceptable right before God. For you, this is an impossibility. For you to change, for you to alter your ways, you know, to give up the godless living, the sinful pleasures, and put yourself on track with God. For you, God's saying here, this is an impossibility. Because you see, it's in your nature. It's in your nature to oppose God. Yeah, you see, religion doesn't change that. Religion doesn't change a man or woman's nature. Changes some things, you know. Way you dress, maybe. Some of the things that you do. But it doesn't change your nature, you see. Morality doesn't do that. You see, people, it's in your very nature. It's the warp and woof, the fabric of your being. Sin, I mean. God says in His Word, you know, that we're all born in sin, conceived in sin. That's why, of course, well, sinful practice, habitual, accustomed sin, you know, comes out of us. Because, you see, we're natural born sinners, and that's our natural habitat. You know, it's like if you take the old pig, you know, take it out of the muck and hose it down and put a tie around its neck and sit it down at your table. Take your eyes off it for 5 minutes, and what it'll be doing, it'll be straight out the door and back in amongst the muck. Because that's its desire, that's its natural habitat. Well, yours, God says, is sin. You know, we can dress you in religious garb, you know. We can maybe add a little bit of morality and respectability to it. Maybe hose you down and put some decent clothes on you. And everybody think, what a great dude you are, you know. But take our eyes off you for a couple of minutes and you'll be back wallowing in the sin, because that's your natural habitat. Can you change the spots in the leopard? Well, says God, neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. And you do the evil, you do the wickedness, you do the sin because it's in your nature. It's in your nature to do it. So unless the nature's changed, and who is it amongst you can change your nature? Not a single one of you. It's an impossibility with you. Possibility with me. For your nature to be changed, it would take a miracle. Take something from God. Something Almighty God alone could do. Miracle, transformation, change in your nature. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Then of course it's in your will, you know. The will's deceased as well, you know. Well, the Bible says so. No mind, you know, no mindset to obey God, no desire even. You see, the truth of the matter is, nobody ever desired God. Nobody ever desired purity or holiness. Nobody ever desired God's laws, commandments. Nobody.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, sir.
I'm Buddhist. And,
oh, yes.
I was wondering, what is this by atheism Which? Is a crutch?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
What do you mean, what does it mean? It means what it says.
But,
atheism is a crutch. You're an atheist? It's a crutch to you. Well, that's the same thing.
Not really, sir.
Yes, it's idolatry, sir. It's what the Bible calls idolatry. False religion.
It isn't false.
It is, sir. And that's the very thing, you see, that God, you see, condemns the human race for, you see. It's, I have seen your adultery and lust and your disgusting idol worship. What sorrow awaits you? How long before you are pure?
There's no idol in Buddhism.
Well, what's that big fat monster?
That, sir, is a... Well, the big fat monster, sir, is a seven virtue. Seven virtues are what guide people, and guide people from sin. You see, sir, with my...
I know what it is, sir. It's pantheism. It's Hinduism. It's... godlessness. Sir, you know as well as I do, sir, you know that the true and living God is. And that's just your way of suppressing the truth about God, about the true and living God.
The reason why I wanted to know is because with this be forgiven, it's one of the many virtues which is in Christianity, and it's also in Buddhism. There's many virtues that are the same thing is.
No, sir, there's no forgiveness in Buddhism, because there is no atoning blood. Without the shedding of blood, God says, there can be no forgiveness of sins. God himself has provided the sacrifice, his own son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Without Jesus Christ, your sins cannot be forgiven, sir. Cannot be. Buddha can't forgive you. Buddhism can't forgive you. Pantheism can't forgive you. Only God's Son, Jesus Christ, is that authority. I call upon you to repent and believe the gospel,
sir. The thing is, sir, I have always been Buddhist. The thing is, these virtues have made me a lot more pure, and I don't roll around in muck, sir.
Well, we'll agree to disagree, sir. It's the gospel you need. It's the gospel, sir. Would you take a copy of God's word?
I'll take you.
And have a read.
That's part of Buddhism, isn't it?
Will you have it? Will you read it?
I shall read it.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you for your question, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you for answering my question.
You're welcome. So, as I was saying, people, it's in the will too. You see, this impossibility. You know, neither says God, neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. You see, it's in the will, our wills are diseased as well. We have no mind, you know, to change, no desire to change. It's a moral incapability, friends, you know. Because the desire's just not there, you know. No one ever desired God, no one ever desired to change. No one ever desired to be right with God. No one ever desired to be rid of their sins. No one ever desired, you know, holiness, purity, until that is, God changed their natures and changed their wills as well. That is until they were born again. You see, with you, this is an impossibility. Take a miracle from God, you see, to change your will, to change your mindset, to change your desires, you know, to change your, accustomed to doing evil. Take a miracle from God to bring that about. Then, of course, it's in the power of habit. You know, you start these habits, you know, maybe when you're young, maybe not so young, but, you know, you start into a habit, you know, and it's maybe not particularly a good habit. There are some good habits, but, you know, there are a lot of bad habits, you know, and people spend most of their lives trying to get out of them afterwards. But you see, there's power in the habit. You begin the habit, you see, and you practice and you practice and you practice, and it becomes ingrained into you. It forges a chain, you see, and it binds you. And of course, you can't get out of it. That's why, of course, many of you, some of you at least anyway, you run to the chemist shop, you know, because you want a patch, you know, to stick on yourself, and because you believe, you know, that'll loose you from the chain, that'll break the power of the habit. But it doesn't. It's not long lasting. Not long before you're back amongst, you know, the accustomed, the habit that you began however long ago. Then, of course, well, you know, the power of the habit, well, to break it, you know, Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, will be saved. Saved, that is, from the power of sin, you know, that holds us, those entrenched habits, you know, that you're chained to. Yeah, it might not be fags, it might not be drugs, it might not be the booze. Maybe just simply, you know, you can't stop taking God's name in vain, you know. Every other sentence, you're blaspheming God's name. You see, it's a habit. You begin maybe in childhood. You hear other people doing it, and it becomes an ingrained habit. Maybe it's, you know, gossiping, you know. Destroying other people's lives when you're gossiping. And you say, well, that's how I am, you know, I can't change. Well, that's what God says, of course you can. He says, can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard take away its spots? No, of course not. And neither, says God, can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. You well practiced at it, you're chained to it. You're in bondage to it. You can't break the power of it. Not yourself, at least anyway. Impossibility with you. And then, of course, well, sin lies in the pleasure of sin too. Because, well, you know, God does. He does acknowledge that there's pleasure in sin. But, of course, it's only momentary. It's only fleeting afterwards, you know. You pick up the tab, you know, the guilty conscience, you know, and then of course, well, the end game of sin, you know, eternal death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who I'm declaring to you here this afternoon. But you see, there's pleasure in sin. You love the sin. That's the problem. Sin fascinates you, you know. Sin enslaves the mind, you know. Isn't that sure? That certain thing? You want somebody to do something for you? I tell you the way to get them to do it for you. You want somebody to do something for you? Tell them not to do it. And they'll go do the very opposite. They'll go and do it. You know, you put a sign up saying, keep off the grass. And what do? They go walking on the grass. You know? It's that stubborn, rebellious, sinful nature that's in every one of us. You see? You take great pleasure. Sin fascinates you. It's a pleasure to you. God says in His Word, that's the reason why you won't come to the light, because your deeds are evil. Your works are evil. You love the darkness, you see? Fascinated with the darkness, fascinated with sin. And that's why it's an impossibility for you. Can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leper take away his spots? Neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. Because it fascinates you and it slaves the mind. It's in the appetite as well. You know, your appetite, have you noticed? You know, it intensifies with, indulgence. You know, the more you feed the appetite, doesn't matter what it is, not just talking about food. Talking about your appetite for sin, you know. The more you indulge, the stronger and the greater your appetite grows. You want to kill, you want to reduce the appetite, you got to starve it. No other way. But you see, your indulgence in sin, it's intensified. It's intensified with your indulgence in sin. The more you indulge yourself in it, the more you want it. The more you hunger, the more you thirst after it. When in fact, you see, you should be hungering after God and His righteousness. You should be thirsting after God, panting after God. Your desire, you should be indulging yourself in God and in His kingdom. But the more and more you indulge yourself in sin, in wickedness, the more and more your appetite grows. It becomes a growing force. Then, of course, the impossibility that God speaks about here is in the blindness of your understanding. You can't see. You can't see that your ways are evil. You can't see that your ways are displeasing to God. Somebody has to tell you. Preacher has to come and tell you what to believe. He has to tell you about yourself, because you don't know yourself. If you don't know yourself, if you don't know what you are, you've never been born again. Never been born again. One of the first things that happens when a man or woman's born again is they come to a true knowledge of themselves. They come to know that in reality, you know, they're not the cool dude that they thought they were. You know? They're not the splendid object that they think that everybody should desire, you know, and lavish their love and attention upon. You come to see yourself as you really are. Vile before God. With hearts that are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. You come to see yourself as you truly are. But if you don't know yourself, you've never been born again. It's the first thing that God will show you. Your sin, you see. But, you know, people keep telling me, well, I ain't no sinner. You know, I ain't done nothing wrong. You know, you don't know. You don't understand. You see that your ways are contrary to God. Unless the preacher comes and tells you, how will you know what to believe? How will you know how to get out of that sinful way, pathway, unless somebody tells you? Unless the preacher informs you. Come here, tell you these things, not because I hate you, not because I want to upset you, but because I want to see you saved. I want to see you out of the fire. I want to see your nature change. I want to see your ways change. I want to see you right with God. I want to see you in heaven one day with me. And the only way that's going to happen, people, is if you're born again. You must be born again, Jesus said. Man asked a preacher one occasion, he said, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying you must be born again? And the preacher answered him, he said, because you must be. The only way that a man can enter the kingdom of God, only but by being born again. And when Jesus was talking those words, he was talking to a religious man, a very, very religious man, a teacher of religion. He couldn't grasp it. He couldn't understand it. You see, religion doesn't bring life. Jesus brings life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The gospel brings life, people. Life, life, life. We're talking about life. I came that they might have life more abundantly, says Jesus. Not religion, not respectability, but life, people. Life. But here's the question again. Can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Answer, no. Can a leper take away its spots? Answer, no. Neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil, accustomed to doing evil.
Too many evil people in this.
See, people? You see, people? It's an impossibility with you and I. Impossibility with you and I. Take a miracle to bring about such a change. But that's the gospel. It's only the gospel that can do that. Then, of course, you see it, the impossibility of this in the growing hardness of your heart. You know, the older you get, the more cynical you become. The more and more you go on in a sinful course, the harder your heart becomes. You know, your conscience, your conscience, drugged. You put it to sleep, as it were. And of course, if you carry on in the sinful course, you carry on hardening yourself more and more, well, the time comes when your conscience is seared. And you no longer feel anything. You no longer feel the sense of right and wrong. How do you think it is that these youths, you know, today in your courts, they stand there in the dock of a court, you know, having been found guilty of some heinous crime against their fellow human beings, and they stand there remorseless, without any feeling at all. How's that? Because their consciences are seared. Your conscience, people, is a moral response to God. You be careful what you do with it. But you see, people drug their consciences, harden themselves, sear their consciences, till they get to the point somewhere, well, you got to see they're beyond redemption. I hope that's not you. But you see the impossibility of the thing? With a drugged conscience or a seared conscience? An impossibility for you, God says, neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil, accustomed to doing evil. But you see, people, that inability, that impossibility with you to change, that's no excuse for your sin. That's no excuse for your nature contrary to God. That's no excuse for your practice being contrary to God. That's no excuse. That's no justification. God still holds you to account and will hold you to account. Bible says that every single one of us are naked and exposed before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Jesus says, you give account for every careless word that you speak. So you see, accountability in a day and generation when men and women believe that there is no accountability, that they can sin with impunity, they can do all kinds of wickedness, and it don't matter a whit to nobody. Well, people, that might be the government of the day. That might be the present government of this country, this land of yours. But I tell you, that's not God's government. God is a just God, righteous and holy, and he will hold you to account for your idolatrous worship. He'll hold you to account for your every careless word. He will hold you account for your fallen nature. and the practices that emit from that fallen nature, God will hold you to account. But change for you is an impossibility. An impossibility. No more can you change your ways. No more can you change your nature, your practice, than the Ethiopian can change the color of his skin. No more can you change than the leopard can change its spots. But you see, people, these are words of grace. This is the word of God. This is God's promise of salvation to all who repent and believe the gospel. There's implied hope, you see, in these words, because change is a possibility. Not with you, but with God. Because the Bible tells us all things are possible with God. He's a miracle-working God, you see. Some people, they ask the question, you know, miracles? Surely not. You see, you know, how could God possibly, you know, create the universe in 6 literal days? Surely that's not possible. How can God speak through a donkey? How can God raise the dead? How can he cure diseases miraculously, immediately, supernaturally? Well, your puny mind and my puny mind, we're not the judges. We're not the judges of what's possible and what's impossible. God is the sovereign determiner of what's possible and what's impossible. And with him nothing shall be impossible. God reveals to us in his word. And so this change that's necessary of your nature and your practice from your sinful ways to God's ways is a possibility through God, that is. And through the gospel, the revelation of the gospel of his Son Jesus Christ, who came into the world for this very reason and purpose, that men's hearts might be changed, their natures altered and their practices altered, and made fit for God and fit for heaven. But until that change takes place, until that miracle happens, until you're born again, people, you're not fit for purpose, you're not fit for God, you're not fit for nothing but the lake of fire. But the gospel, people, there's hope, you see, in the gospel. That's why it's called the gospel of hope. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Your new birth to be changed, to be transformed in your heart, people, in your heart to begin with. It's the heart that's the heart of the problem. You got to change the heart, and only God can do that miraculously. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Then, of course, well, there's the Holy Spirit's, you know, his special power to change. You know, the Bible tells us God exists in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some people, of course, have problems with that, but that's how God's revealed himself. And his Holy Spirit, you see, he's the efficient cause of a person, a man or woman, being born again. You have to be born again of God's Spirit, you see, and he has a special power. He has the ability to convince you of your sin. I talk here all day long about sin, but I couldn't give you one single anxious thought about your sin. But God, the Holy Spirit, can. He can convince you where I can. He can convince you of sin. He can convince you of righteousness, the righteousness that you need, the righteousness of God. He can convince you of the coming judgment and convince you to such an extent that you would be willing to flee from it. But until he does, by his special, his unique power, you'll remain just as you are, accustomed to doing evil. You'll carry on in your custom. You'll carry on in your habitual evil to the end of your course, the end of your days. Breathe your last, go out of this world in your sin and go to hell. Go to hell. Lest God's Spirit comes and does His special work by His special and unique power and convinces you of these things and changes your heart, causes you to be born again. But it's not of you, it's not in your power to do it, it's not my power to do it. I can only tell you the truth. I can only tell you the way to go. You've got to step across the line yourself. It's only God that can do it, not me, not you. But then there is the possibility, you know, because, well, Jesus came, He lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead to make the thing a possibility. You know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You know that Jesus came, that God devised this plan and sent His Son into the world and caused Him to be taken by the cruel, wicked hands of men and nailed to a Roman cross, bleeding and dying, laid in a tomb and raised again from that tomb from the dead. God went through all that trouble. Why? Because He loves sinners like you and I. And His desire is that you should be saved, that you should come to repentance, that you should come to know eternal life. So what is eternal life? Knowing God. Knowing God. Not knowing about God. Oh, you can know a lot of things about God. You can go to a church, you can go to a place of worship, and people will tell you about God. You can buy books and you can learn about God. You can even know the Bible. But I don't mean to say you've got eternal life. Knowing God relationally. You know, you tell me, maybe you tell me, you know the Queen. There's her birthday tomorrow. And you say to me, I know the Queen. Now what you mean is you know about the Queen. You don't know her personally. You don't know her relationally. Eternal life is knowing God relationally. And His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world to be the Savior of sinners. So the possibility, I'm talking what would clean your mouth out, young lady, and clean your heart out as well at the same time, give you a pure mouth, a clean heart. So you see, people, the possibility's there, it's implied in these words. Neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. But the possibility is there of change, because Jesus came, lived and died and rose again from the dead, in order that you might be changed through belief in the gospel. Many others have experienced that change. They've been as black can be with their sin. It's only the gospel. It's only the Injil, ladies. Believe the Injil, the gospel. Not Muhammad, he can't do nothing for you. He's dead and gone. Jesus is alive. And alive forevermore. He alone can change you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Many, many others. Many others. Many others. Whose sins have been as black can be. They've been saved, they've been washed and made clean by the power of the risen Jesus. So the possibility's there, people. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Moses in the Old Testament, Moses in the law, says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. You believe the law? You believe the Bible?
No.
You don't?
No.
Well, the Quran says you should believe the Bible. Muhammad says the Bible is good. Muhammad says the law of God is good, the Old Testament, right? Moses says in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins, right? So where'd you get the blood? God provided Himself the blood sacrifice, His own Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You have no atonement. atonement for your sin. You can't be forgiven, ladies, without the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, no forgiveness. No forgiveness, people. Repent and believe the gospel, ladies. The angel. The gospel, the good news concerning God's Son. Forgiveness is possible, but not with you. With God, nothing shall be impossible. The gospel, you see, is designed to bring change. It's the only thing that could change the mindset, bring repentance, that is. Open the understanding of men and women to understand that they're sinners and need the gospel. To make alive again the conscience that's been drugged and maybe seared. To change the motives and desires of a man or woman. The gospel's designed for this, and the gospel alone can bring it about. And then instead of being accustomed to doing evil, you become a person who's accustomed to doing good. He died to make us good. So you see, for the inveterate sinner, oh, there's hope. There's hope, people. But it's in the gospel, it's in the person and work of Jesus, His death and resurrection. That's where the hope lies. That's where the change comes from. It's not the waters of baptism. You know, maybe you say you've been christened or baptized. Some people call themselves Roman Catholics. And when I say you must be born again, they say, well, I have been. And what they mean is they were baptized as children. Baptism, christening doesn't change. Doesn't change a man's nature, a woman's nature. Doesn't bring about this transformation. It's only the gospel that does that. All the tears of remorse. You say, I'm sorry I did it. I'm sorry I was caught. I'm sorry I was found out. You know, and you weep and you cry. I'm sorry. You say, all the tears of remorse won't do it. It's got to be repentance, people. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. But is that the will of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes, repents and believes in Him, should not perish but have eternal life. Not the medicine of promises and pledges. Well, I promise I won't do it again. I pledge myself to doing good. I'll change, I'll reform my ways. I won't go that way anymore. People, that's no good. That won't do it. With you, this change is impossible. Impossible. Can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard take away its spots? No, impossible. Neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. Oh no, you say, I'm a good person. Are you? Ever told a lie? Ever lusted after the opposite sex? Ever stolen anything big or small? That's your goodness gone. That's your goodness evaporated. That's your perceived goodness gone. Only God is good, people. Only God. You're not good. I'm not good. We're all vile. We're all wretched. Without God and His Son, Jesus Christ, there's no transformation. All the promises, all the pledges in the world won't make any difference. But in the Word, in the Gospel, Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Power of God's Spirit to give you life and love and liberty. To change and transform not just your being, not just your existence, but your future, your destiny. Heaven, a heavenly mansion, as opposed to a hellish hovel when your course is finished in this world. Jesus, Savior of sinners, who came to rescue, who came to save sinners. So you see, I ask you to consider these questions that I've read before you in your presence this afternoon from God's Word. What will you say when the Lord takes the allies you have cultivated and appoints them as your rulers? You know, you wouldn't have the God of grace. You gave up on the gospel, and now your land's filled with heathen religion. And when that heathen religion comes to rule in your land, when Sharia law is imposed upon you, well, what will you do then? What will you do then? Listen to the question again. Think about it, please. What will you say when the Lord takes the allies you have cultivated and appoints them as your rulers? And why? Why do some events displeasing, crossing your will, why do they come to you? Why do they happen? You may ask yourself, says God, why is all this happening to me? It's because of your many, many sins. Oh, that you would consider, you know, God's minor and temporary judgments that come upon you and affect your life, that you would ask the question, why has this happened to me? And God's answer is, because of your many sins. Judgment awaits you if this change, if this transformation does not take place. If you're not born again, if you do not come to repentance and faith towards Jesus, judgment awaits you. I will scatter you like chaff that is blown away by the desert winds. This is your allotment, the portion I have assigned to you, says the Lord. For you have forgotten me, putting your trust in false gods. I myself will strip you and expose you to shame. You see, people, God sees it all. You think you do it behind closed doors, nobody sees you. You think because you do it in the dark, nobody sees you. I have seen your adultery and lust and your disgusting idol worship, says God. He sees it all. You're all of you naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom you must give account. Repent while you have the time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. How long will it be, says God? How long before you are pure? Well, until God comes with the power to save you. I can only tell you, I can only point you in the right direction. I can only tell you about the Savior. I can only tell you about Jesus the mighty to save, the one able to save you from sin, death, and hell. The one able to rescue you, to save to the uttermost all those who come to Him, to God through Him. But you must come to God through Him. There's no other way. No other way to come to God. No other acceptable way to come to God. Only through Jesus. Only through the Son of God. But if you don't come, if you're not changed, you're not transformed, you're not born again, people, you'll never be pure. You'll never be right with God. You'll never be acceptable to God. Always defiled. Always unacceptable to God. Only God can purify your heart, but the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, was shed. Jesus gave Himself to purify for Himself a people. Did He give Himself up to the death of the cross to purify you, your heart, make you clean, make you right with God? That's what He came for, people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. It's God's promise. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is His name. He is Lord. Risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every eye shall see Him. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that He is Lord. Do it today. Do it immediately. In the quietness of your own heart here this afternoon. Forget the scoffers and the mockers and the sneerers. Quietness of your own heart this afternoon. Ask Jesus. Come into your heart and life. Change and transform you. Make you a new person. Take away the habitual evil and make you good. Make you pure. Make you fit for God and fit for heaven. Well, these things, people, they're all in God's Word. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Check it out for yourself. See that these things are so. It's offered to you free of charge. No cost, no obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious souls.
Webby?
I'm Catholic.
Yeah. No, well, that's...